Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jan, who is here to speak with us about a wonderful article she recently wrote for the Practice Corner in the Monastery Newsletter. Welcome, Jan.
Thanks, Jan. Good to be here. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So, yeah, maybe you could talk a little bit about your article. One of the things I loved about it was that it felt like you were really walking us through kind of, okay, you know, here's what it looks like to be so committed to practice. You're not willing to give up no matter what, you know, gets thrown at you. And here are the ways that you in particular really practice with that, some of the tools that you turn to.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's interesting because I loved writing the article because I had to look. Mm-hmm. I had to really look at what is it about practice, about training that I love. And so it was a wonderful process to go through just in writing it. But the things, you know, I don't know if I was as clear in the article as what I've been looking at this afternoon. But just what I've seen are the sort of the key ingredients, and I think I touched on them in the article, was to participate as much as possible as far as training goes, and to follow the guidance and trust in the process. And those three things seem to be sort of paramount, or at least right now, seem really paramount to training. And I want to say the joy of training, because that's what I've seen over the years, that the joy in doing it only gets greater. It wasn't always that way. You know, it was sort of a slog for, there was a time it was that way. And because
is a great reminder, isn't it, Jan?
Yeah.
Because first of all, you know, for folks who may hear someone like you or read your article and feel like, wow, I don't know what she's talking about. That's lucky her, you know, that's the way it goes for her. But that reminder that, no, that's actually not true. The reason that's your experience is because of the training. And that element that, you know, you ended the article with, that piece of following the guidance. And it's clear in reading your article that you're actually doing. You're taking the tools that you've been given. You're taking the guidance that you've been given, and you're putting it into practice, which is the process of training, which, as you say, leads to joy. And there have been times, there were lots of times where it was a slog, and I'm guessing every now and then it's still, you know, that cycles around. But that doesn't stop you from training.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's... I guess I just feel like it's really important to mention that there was, for a long, long time, there was huge resistance, or it would keep coming up if there was something new in practice, resistance to that, the next thing, resistance to that. But that was part of the training, part of the practice, and again, trusting the process that if I followed the guidance, yes, this is really what we want to do. This is what you want to practice. The payoff is there, and so the faith grows, and this, what do we call it? The practice muscle grows, because I think I mentioned in the article, what's been most fun to me lately is seeing ever more clearly what this life is not, you know, what goes on in the mind, the thinking that goes on, and that is not me, that's not us. And it's taken years to really get clearer and clearer about that. And it's not over. There are still times I fall into it, for sure. But that's sort of not the point, because there's no goal.
Yeah, that's right. It's
being right here, right now, to see what's going on in this moment. Yeah. And with that, the simplicity of it is so beautiful. And when I can do it, wow, the payoff is there.
Yeah. The payoff is there, and we really have to prove that to ourselves, right? So that's such a funny image. I think so many of us can relate to it, of, you know, anytime, you know, something new comes in practice. I mean, a huge one was when recording and listening really started to be introduced, and the resistance that you know, folks had to that, or experienced around that, we could say. And then doing it, despite the resistance, and then really receiving the rewards of that and the benefits of that training. And then that's such a good experience to have. So when the next new thing comes down the pike and the voices say, oh, no, not, I don't want to, or, you know, whatever they say, there's yeah. that experience of, well, everything else that I've trained with so far has really paid off. So then there's that faith, as you say, that builds.
Yeah. And maybe it's because recording and listening is so effective that's mm-hmm. where I think many of us have had the greatest resistance, you know,
exactly.
that dissipates
exactly.
over time because the payoff, the benefit is there. But gosh, it's rough. It was rough for me at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But now mm-hmm. it's just that understanding, that knowing, that deep knowing that despite the tremendous resistance not to pick that recorder up, I know that's what I need to do. Yeah.
That's right. Yep, and that it comes through for us each time, right? That
yeah.
was one of the other things. I mean, you pointed out a couple of specific recording and listening tools, the two-handed recording, the interviewing an object, you know, things that cycle around in practice, and you talked about really enjoying those and really having those be part of your regular practice.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, especially the interviewing, because when that was first introduced, I don't remember how long ago, but, you know... It's like, oh, right. Like, we're really going to do this.
Right. Okay.
And,
I'm going to interview my clock. I mean, come on.
and that's what I love. I mean, I hope that came across in the article. That's what I love mm-hmm. about practice is, okay, that's the resistance. Yeah, and we're just going to do it because that's the guidance. And oh, yep. my gosh, that what opens up from that, or what, at least from my experience with that particular tool, it was just like, okay, what else? So that means that I'm going to really be listening for what's suggested next because
I just feel like
we are so blessed to have a guide that is willing to take us, I always think of it as take us on the ride, to take us along to have the opportunity to see, to experience what she has seen. What she's experienced, and it just feels like, such an amazing gift.
That is so lovely, Jan. Because what I just saw when you said that was, you know, sort of first the image of a tour guide dropped in, right? You know, over here. but what's so lovely about it is it's being on the journey together, right?
Yes.
That it's alive. It's finding out together. I mean, recording and listening was something that, you know, Sherry, we could say discovered, if you will. And then, as you say, you know, offered it to all of us. Oh, here
yeah.
is this extraordinary tool. And as she said over and over, the most extraordinary tool I've come across in terms of ending mm-hmm. suffering, the assistance for that. So that's really lovely, that image
yeah.
of, you know, kind of being led in that way and the generosity of sharing the experience with all of us together.
Yeah, well, at least it's hard to, how to repay the debt, as we often talk about. But there was one other thing I wanted to mention on the training. The word training has been so helpful. We've always used practice. And mm-hmm. When training was, that term was used more often, it just really, I don't know, it struck me in a new way, maybe because of, for myself, it was, you know, whether it was a musical instrument or a sport, that I could go to that experience of
yeah.
what I needed to do
yeah.
to have the experience I was looking for with the instrument or
yeah.
the sport. And
yeah.
it's just been terrifically helpful to think of it that way. Because it's the joy in doing, as Sherry has said, you have
yep.
there has to be the joy in doing, in the practice, in the training.
That's right. That's right.
Because what's the point otherwise? And I've actually found
yeah.
that, as in music and sports, that's where the greatest joy is in the practice of it. So,
is in the training.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was that. It was maybe on a morning show, was it, where Sherry had that. She was talking about exactly what you're saying, which is that, you know, what sets apart the elite athletes from the elite athletes that we all know and who endure over time is that
mm-hmm.
they love training. They love
yeah.
training. So it's not the, okay, I'm willing to, you know, kill myself for the result. It's the love of the training. And that leads to an extraordinary, quote, result. But that's not what's driving it. What's driving it is the love of the training. And that's such a model right. for us in waking up in practice.
Yeah, and that extraordinary, well, what you just described, it's in that moment of training.
Yes,
it's in
exactly.
each moment of training.
Exactly.
And I guess that's the thing that's been so amazing to me is to really get that there is no end goal. There really isn't.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and we can have it at any time.
Yes.
But it does take practice, as Sherry and Ashwini have told us many times. And we know that. We know that from our own experience.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and it really points at one of the phrases Ashwini has used a lot over the years, which is the process is the outcome. That really
mm-hmm.
speaks to what you're saying. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being with us, Jan, and for sharing your experience both here and in the article, which, again, I highly recommend if folks have not seen it. It is the current Practice Corner article, so if you go to the website and click on What's New and go to the newsletter and Practice Corner, you'll see it there.
Oh, thanks so much, Jan, for inviting me.
Thanks for being with us, Jan. Take care. Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jan. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air, and welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. I enjoyed that conversation a lot.
It's my favorite topic, training.
Yes, yes, and I also love that word, training. And I was just thinking about in a sport, you know, there's the practice and the game, and somehow the game is more important. And if it's all training, then it's all fun, it's all exciting, and what I have learned in quote practice is available to me in the quote game unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost as if it's what we're talking around, celebration, right? There isn't an occasion
yes.
necessarily, but it's a continuous process. And if the training and awareness is applicable to life, then our, within quotes, games tend to be those extremely challenging places where we hope that our practice is there for us, right?
Yes.
Or even those wonderful places where we hope that the practice is there for us so we could actually enjoy it.
Yes, yes, definitely. And I have announcements here.
Great.
Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. And a new quarter starts January 15th. Is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program, which begins January 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Michael, I just wanted to say that there is another practice opportunity that we didn't get to open today, but will be on the calendar in the next day or so.
Okay.
As everyone well knows, our Making a Change for Good is coming to an end soon. Our last
yes.
radio show will be on the 11th of December. And so we have another fabulous 9-day daily radio show practice opportunity that's going to be announced soon based on the Enneagram. So stay tuned. We won't be without a practice after December 11th, a daily practice. So we haven't quite put that together, but you'll probably hear, everyone will probably get an email about it in the next day or so.
Okay, great. Another daily radio show after the year-long retreat ends then.
Yes, just in December to support us over the holidays.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I won't go into withdrawal on the 12th.
Exactly, that's exactly what we were looking at, that we won't go into withdrawal, and there's something to keep us going. Well, there are several fabulous practice opportunities coming up in January and February, but all will be revealed, including our kickoff. So, I don't think we will have to withdraw from practice. I'm pretty sure we won't.
I'm tempted to pepper you with a lot of questions about details, but I'm going to restrain myself here.
Yes, it should be coming out in a couple of days, but I just realized that, you know, next week is the end of the radio show, so this practice opportunity is specifically what I wanted to bring people's attention to, and just so look out for an email tomorrow or the day after.
Great, great. Thanks for that, Ashwini. I'm sure a lot of people had a big sigh of relief. Like I did. Okay, if you'd like to get in the queue today to talk with Ashwini, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Ashwini, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Michael. It's Ramita in South Carolina.
Hi, Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
Hello. Grateful to be here, and so grateful for this year of the year-long retreat has been just amazing. I keep thinking, oh, it can't get better than this, and it does.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
It's such a testament to how much life changes and gets better with more practice, right, when we get.
Yeah. Yes. Just like what Jan and Jen were talking about, you know, just keep practicing and trust the process. And oh my gosh, this focus of celebrating, I saw something really new for me, a new dimension of how conditioning has me feeling not good enough. And it has to do with this story about someday in the future, I will grow up. I will be mature. I will be complete. And then I can celebrate.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you could finally throw that adult birthday party.
The adult, I'm sorry?
Well, it's a birthday party, right? You finally graduate into some kind of where you're supposed to be, and then we can celebrate that you've crossed that threshold. But until then, you can't celebrate. Yeah.
Exactly. We're still a work in progress. There's all this self-improvement that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And those have been really strong, deep karmic threads in lifetime. And to see it, wait a second, I'm in my seventh decade. If I'm not adult, you know, the only real improvement I need to make is to let go of that conversation.
Yes, that there is no, it really takes us to that place of enough already, right, Ramita, that in this place in your life, if you can't actually say, okay, well, I don't have to meet another standard of self-improvement before I get to celebrate, then when will we ever do it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just have to drop that conversation. And there's no need to indulge any conversation about waiting this long or not having seen it or anything else, right? It's the beauty of awareness that the moment you have the insight, you could start the celebrating now.
Yes, and that's what's happening now. That's I had a moment a couple days ago where I recognized the sparkle of vitality. And then later on, I saw it in the Musings article. But that sparkle, each moment has this sparkle. And by bringing attention to it, looking for it. If I don't see it, I know that there's a conversation going on. Keep looking for the sparkle, and the sparkle happens, presence happens, and celebrating all happens instantaneously.
Yes, the sparkle is really the that as soon as you see the sparkle, it's the sparkle of celebration, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's there. I see it. It lights me up, and then I'm it, and that's it. That's the whole deal. And if I if I'm not feeling that, it's my signal to look for it.
Yes, and you used another key word, the whole deal. This is wholesome. This is no separation. There's no future, past. This is right here, right now, celebrating, and always available. It's
always available, and everything's included, right? That's why it feels whole. There's no question of not enough in that.
Yes, so true.
Yeah.
So I'm practicing celebrating and
sparkling with vitality.
Exactly. And just all the gifts that come along with this energy and this willingness to have more and more of an experience of not the conversation, just this moment right here.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for being here and all of us practicing together.
Yes. Thank you, Anita. Truly deep gesture to all of Sangha.
Yes. Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Ramita. Ashwini, I heard unconditional celebration in that conversation. That we can drop all the standards.
Yes. Yeah. Drop all the standards, precisely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And we have another caller here. Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, this is Andrea in North Carolina.
Hey, Andrea.
Hey. It's really great to be on the show. I've been practicing for well over 10 years with this Sangha, and I think I've called into the radio show once. This is good.
Right? And just whatever it is that it, ego's comfort zone and put yourself in the queue.
That's right. Yes, I'm definitely, ego is definitely out of its comfort zone at the moment. Really what I've been looking at is, I feel like I'm kind of back to basics in a lot of ways. I keep the word COVID casualty keeps dropping in because I think that ego has used that as an excuse to distract me from a diligent regular practice. Just kind of feeling the effects of that. And the content where it is really showing up is, again, kind of the back to basics that I can't possibly be happy in this moment under these circumstances. There, I've recently started a new job, and it was known to be a temporary job, but it became quickly apparent that this is a very, very temporary job. And it is accurate that it's a setting that isn't really in line with my values and isn't really supportive of a spiritual practice. And yet here I am, and there are reasons why it takes care of this human to do this job for a certain amount of time. I'd just like some support around I want to say figuring out, but that's an ego thing. Just some support for being happy and present in circumstances that don't line up with what I would arrange.
Uh-huh. And so, and Andrea, you said you've been practicing with us for some time, right? And
mm-hmm.
so that you had a sort of a set of practices, if you will, which you've been distracted from. What would you say were those practices? What are those practices?
What are those practices?
That you're not doing, that you used to do.
Okay. Daily meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely some recording and listening going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not feeling super effective, which raises some suspicion about who has the recorder. And there's almost like a moment-to-moment willingness to detach and look for the conditioned story that's so believable and yet practice supports me in, of course, not believing it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I guess I don't really know exactly what to call that moment-to-moment willingness, but there's definitely a pattern of kind of getting on the train and on the story train and just kind of going off into conditioned misery, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like there's a level of awareness for you, right, Andrea, that there is a conversation that is very pervasive that is feeding a place of dissatisfaction. Yeah, this job is not something that you would ideally want to do. Yeah, this job is something that I am doing because it addresses a certain concern, but the circumstances are not ideal, right? Because there's a way in which what we're practicing for is being happy regardless of the circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not the circumstances that feeds our happiness. It's the fact that our attention is not on the dissatisfaction that feeds our unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so so when we're doing a regular practice like meditation or recording and listening, all it does is takes us back to the training that Jan was talking to Jen about, right? I'm training to recognize when I'm in dissatisfaction and redirect my attention to the presence, which gives me an experience of happiness that is not based on circumstances. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I'm in a conversation that is talking to me about how these circumstances need to be different and that I'm unhappy with the circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say what's dropping in is a huge support for me from the beginning has just been reading the books that mm-hmm. Sherry and you have written, and the one that just dropped in was what you practice is what you have, which I feel like mm-hmm. was a huge eye-opener, just the simple concept of light room, dark room.
Yeah. Well, and I think, that's why we record and listen, right? So to be able to direct, what the book, reading the book does for you is direct the attention away from the conversation that you're in to something that brings you to your heart, to center, to your intention in life, right? So that book assists you to do that. And the same thing with meditation and all of the practices that you would do. And the encouragement would be to record and listen in the same way. Because recording and listening actually allows you to actively get out of the conditioned conversation. So you could, for example, you could be going to work or doing, not going to work, but sitting in front of your computer doing the work, and you're aware that, just God, I don't want to do this. You know, this is really not what I want to do. And you pick up the recorder, and you might just be aware of a sense of dread, or aware of a sense of depression, or aware of a sense of feeling stuck. And once you pick up the recorder and start to process what it is that is being done to you, then you're actively training yourself not to give attention to or fuel the conversation. And it's a felt experience of the movement from identification to disidentification. It's not that the reading the book doesn't give that to you, but recording and listening gives it to you at a level of, it gives it to you at a level that not many other things do.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a recording practice that's very, very active, that takes everything that's below the level of conscious awareness that's working on your dissatisfaction and bringing it to the level of conscious awareness. And that's one way of practicing with it, and to break the stuckness, right? Because you're constantly interrupting the pattern that is being acted on you, and you're stepping out of it. You're sensing it, you're calling it, you're describing it, you're moving away from it.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I was thinking back to the idea of training and like fitness, like spiritual fitness.
Yes.
And if I only train once a week,
exactly.
Then it's really sort of hard to get out of the hole.
Yes,
like
and even though there's a momentum.
Yeah.
Yes, and even though, so that moment by moment willingness that you pointed to a moment ago is what you want to get back, right? I want to be here. It feels good to be here. I don't want to be in this conversation that is keeping me stuck in constantly considering circumstances are not aligned with my values, and therefore I'm not having the experience I should be having. And the recording practice, right, we do recordings on so many different things. Here are all the things that I'm happy about. Here are all the things that I love. Here are all the things that I'm grateful for. I can record that. I can listen to that. So I have my attention on contentment, not dissatisfaction. I'm listening to what brings me back to that place constantly. And if I'm not listening to it and I feel like I'm in the conversation, I'm actively recording to redirect the attention from the conversation. And then if I feel really crappy, I could do the two-handed recording and support the person who is having a really, really hard time and might need to be listened to, validated, appreciated, embraced, because she's having a tough time doing whatever she's doing. But there's a way in which if we think about it, or if we do it, or there's a passive way of talking ourselves out of it in our minds, it doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't break us out of a pattern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's... I don't want to take up too much more time, but I do notice that the one recording and listening practice that's happening for me is lately is the two-handed recording, and that's what's felt not super effective. Mm-hmm. And I almost have this suspicion that there's, I mean, I want to be careful about self-hate. I think these are some really subtle places, but there's almost like an indulgence of complaining.
And I'm having trouble
with the words, but there's like recording with the left hand, the supports and encouragements. There's a fine line between that and then almost like invalidating.
Right.
I don't really know how to articulate it, but there's some really subtle facets of each of these roles.
It absolutely is, and it's so wonderful that you're present enough. It's just one of the reasons why we listen back, right? Because your authenticity resonates with what's authentic and can actually see what's not authentic. And so you can sense when the recorder's in the left hand and you're being given advice, or, you know, it's like somebody says, get over it, or, you know, that's not really what the mentor's going to say. And also, in the right hand, it's my experience that it's a deep level of training, and that's why you want to keep doing it again and again, to be able to speak from a place of authentic distress rather than let ego have the recorder just to vent, right? So
I think B is what's been happening.
That's right. And so it is a place where it's very subtle, and you would want the we often call it the person at the bottom of the well, right? And it might take you a little bit to get to her because ego wants the microphone initially, but then you start to train to, okay, what am I feeling? What's really going on for me? So it doesn't matter if it starts at the level of the identity, so long as you get to the person who is having the experience of being talked to or talked at by what's going on in conditioned mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once, when you get to that place, you'll find that the mentor or the left hand has something really, really specific and direct to offer that never invalidates that person's experience.
Mm-hmm. This is so funny. I forget what the format was, but I somehow wound up with a little individual phone guidance with you right at probably 2 years ago, and the mm-hmm. assignment was exactly the same.
Well, that's reassuring, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
At some yep. level it is, because, the cul-de-sacs are very, very familiar, and the exits are very, very familiar. Then we just have to do what we're doing now, which is to say, okay, well, something's off, I'm recalibrating. It's not that I don't know what the problem is, and it's not that I don't know how to do what I need to do. I've just gotten off course here, and now I'm back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, like, knowing enough to know that I'm sort of circling around in the cul-de-sac without any lights and calling in is like, hey, can you help me turn on the headlights so I can find the exit?
Right, and the fact that you're even aware of that implies you're already out, right? You're on your way out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thank you
because
so much.
Because it signals that willingness, that intention not to suffer anymore, right? That itself is gives you the energy then to go to bat for her rather than to let her get beaten down by the condition.
Mm-hmm. That feels like a really tender place.
It is just, a very tender place.
You know, I just feel so much gratitude for, as much as conditioning is just like flogging me for, you know, the miserable state of my practice for the past 6 months. Just really being able to experience having put so much in the bank over the years. You know,
yeah.
And all those times of just showing up for practices that I, you know, may or may not have been super excited about on any given day, but just the willingness to show up. There's just this platform that's been created that I don't think can ever be taken away.
Yeah.
I knew that reaching out to the Sangha and finding some structured feedback method was, like, I at least knew there was that exit. And
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and
thank you.
And what we keep just saying is, you don't need to listen to any reviews, any conversation about how good or bad your practice was, right? There are sometimes
mm-hmm.
we just survive, and as you said, what we put in the bank is available to us. And then when we feel like we've sort of exited that survival place, now I begin to do what not only rejuvenates me, but can put some more stuff in the bank, if you will, for the next
mm-hmm.
whenever it is I need it.
Mhm.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrea. Keep us posted, okay?
I will.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And Ashwini, what dropped in for me from that conversation and also from the good news is that I come to practice with my quote problem, and I'm given the guidance, and I don't follow the guidance. And then I come back to practice with the same, quote, problem, and I'm given the same guidance. And, repeat that a few times, and then it occurs to me, you know, perhaps I could follow the guidance, and maybe I'll have a different result.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you know, Michael, that there's a way in which what it builds is trust, right? It builds
yes.
trust in what keeps bringing us back to ask for guidance.
Yes.
Because that is what the guidance is, right?
Yes.
That's what we're training to listen to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fabulous to get to find the willingness that I take no credit for, but is here, and I'm grateful. And I, you know, I bring to practice, and practice gives the guidance, and it builds faith and trust over time, mm-hmm. as Andrea was just talking about.
Yeah, it does.
And Ashwini, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
What is the secret soul that you hide? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Ruxburg Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, we have more callers here.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it now, but just before we went off the air for the ad, there was some kind of conversation on the line, so I'll let you know if I hear it again. It seems to be clear now.
Yes, I was able to find that line that somehow got unmuted, and
wonderful.
I think we're in
Thank
better
you.
Shape now. Yeah, sure, you're welcome. And let's go to our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini. This is Christina in Southern California.
Hey, Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Hi. I'm driving. I'm going to pull over here. It's going to take me a minute. But I've been in this funny place where I am either completely identified as not doing enough, being in trouble, all these like conditioning stories that I, over the years have had going. And then I've been practicing with the conversation I had on the morning show last week with some guidance. In fact, Ashwini, you're the one who gave it of, enjoy life now enjoy life as I'm doing it, and as opposed to, waiting to enjoy it when I'm done with the stuff I have to do on the list.
Uh-huh.
And it's just been remarkable how when I remember to do that, it's transformative. I mean, I literally drop in to whatever it is that's going on, and it's like the whole world opens up. And it feels like I move from that space right back into, the crying. I mean, I'm not actually crying, but, the self that's, upset and overwhelmed and all those things, I'm believing those stories. And it's just weird, and I just wanted some guidance around it. I've taken to listening to a little recording in the morning to remind me to mm-hmm. to do the practice. But yeah, I don't really know what I'm asking, but I just wanted to share it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so here's what I'm hearing, right, Christina? There's an oscillation, right, that you're watching between being identified with that overwhelm with no matter what you do, you can't actually get enough done or be enough or you know, meet any of the standards. And that place of being able to drop into, I'm going to enjoy what I'm doing, whatever it's here to do. And so my the question would be, it'd be interesting to explore, right, Christina, if why is that a problem?
Right, because we are oscillating
between those places. And it seems like that is the process of the subtle self-hate, that which is another standard. If you were the right person, then you wouldn't be oscillating between identification and disidentification, and you'd be having a good time all the time. There's another standard and another piece of pressure that's being implied on a person who's doing their best anyway.
Right. Yeah, it's like I'm being told that unless I can stay indefinitely, then something has to change, something has to shift.
That is really the dissatisfaction that we can start to tune into, that whatever, no matter what is being said, there's always an implied state of wherever you are is not the right, there's something wrong with it, right? And so it's almost like you just have to keep going back, backing up to drop out of that process.
Right.
Yeah. So just to consider that you could relax into the oscillation.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so helpful to hear that, because I've practiced with that before, and it's relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise there needs to be there's a way in which it's a double bind, right? You can't control the oscillation. You're told you're supposed to. There's something wrong with you if you can't. And so just as soon as you know you're in that place, as soon as you become aware that you're in the overwhelm, you know how to redirect your attention to the enjoyment if that's available to you.
Right. And I can practice gratitude in that moment, right?
Because, that's right. And, instead of going to, oh my God, what have you been doing for the last 20 minutes and you haven't remembered to enjoy your life, to, oh great, now I get to enjoy my life now, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And and real quick, one other way that I've been having to practice, or one other way I've been practicing, is that there just can't be any comparisons, no reviews, like all those things that just are constantly gnawing at me. It's so helpful to have those guidelines of, nope, not going there. And it's just, it makes the present moment so accessible.
That's right.
To have those
guidelines. Yeah, it does. Yeah, so just basically the training that you're doing, and the training you've done, right? There are all of these ways in which you cut off the on-ramps to, or you don't feed the on-ramps to the conditioned process. Okay, comparison, not going there. Not enough, not going there. Self-hate, not going there. Feeling bad, not going there, right? As soon as the thought circuit attempts to arise, there's the not going to give it any attention. So there's, it's not surprising then, right, Christina, as you're practicing at that level, there's a way in which it comes around to tell you, oh, well, you're not practicing enough.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Because ultimately what we're training for is being with however it is.
Right.
Where I'm feeling very, very expansive and attention is on awareness and conditioning is a small spot in the distance, or there's a way in which there is an oscillation between the identification and the disidentification, then I get to be with Christina in that. I get to be in life with life there.
Yeah. Right. However it is. Yeah.
However it is. Just, okay, well, that seems, and I'm sure this is your experience, it's certainly mine, that we undulate between the oscillation being very, very large and the oscillation being really, really small, right? There are times when it feels like I'm bumping between identification and disidentification every minute. And it feels like very turbulent. And there are times when, oh, I'm just cruising along in a blissful state for a really long time until I hit a real pit of identification that I try very hard to get out of, but I'm not able to. And everything is all right.
Oh, it's just so compassionate.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, of course, I have all those experiences that you just described. Yeah.
Sorry, Kristen, I can't hear you. What did you just say?
Oh, I said, yes, it's very compassionate to take that perspective, you know, to be in that manner of life, because I have all those experiences that you just described, and to be okay with all of it is really the only choice I have.
Precisely, it is the only choice we have. I received some guidance recently about being able to face it all, right? I'm not going for an experience in life where I am, where I've reached this some steady state of flatness. I'm
right.
being required to look at everything, and that's not an within quotes equanimous experience, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot in that. I'm going to listen to this again and again.
Because, and then when you look at it, we look at that enjoyment with a capital E in some ways, right? There's still a deep sense of being alive. In looking at the vitality is still there. The quality of it, you might not label enjoyment with a little e, but that doesn't mean there isn't the depth of engagement with the life that is yours.
Right. And I've been noticing, like the word I would use to describe what I think is the experience you're pointing at is clarity. There's just this like sense of clarity, no matter what it is that I'm experiencing or I'm being asked to look at in the moment, it's just really clear.
Yeah. Yes, it's very clear. And the clarity I project you're pointing to is that there is awareness that all of the content is being transformed into the process of not losing touch with life, love, what it is that you are, that the process that we're engaged in, right? Which is everything that is conditional is being transformed to the unconditional. I watch the conditional happen. I retouch to the unconditional. And in that moment, the conditional is transformed to the unconditional.
Right. Wow. And that's just everything, isn't it?
Yeah, everything. I feel overwhelmed. I go back to, okay, thank you for me being able to see that in that moment, suffering and.
Yeah. Well, more to come.
More to come. And just that tremendous amount of compassion for the human being engaged in this process, right?
Yeah, thank you for that. And that's why I love this practice. And I'll never leave it. Yeah, I'll never stop doing it. Yeah.
Everything is acceptable.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care and drive safely, Christina.
Oh, I shall. Thank you.
Good
night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Christina and Ashwini. It sounded like you were suggesting that there's nothing wrong.
You might be right. Michael, I might have been suggesting that. Yes. No matter what we're taught to believe.
Yes. Just a big circle of acceptance around all of those undulations. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael and Ashwini, it's Anne in Northern California, and I am so happy to be here.
Hi, Anne.
Happy you are here.
Oh, it's just, you know, it's just such a balm to listen to everyone hear people I'm practicing with looking, and I think it was a Peace quote recently where Sherry said, people who have been introduced to Zen practice in their life are incredibly fortunate people. I think that was a Peace quote. I don't know. I read it someplace. And I've just been sitting here feeling so incredibly fortunate to be a part of this sangha.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. There's not, as you said, it's such a balm, right? There's a way in which we're moved to that compassionate place, or that excited place, or that sympathetic joy place, or that place of insight in just participating with everybody's process.
Yes. Yes, and everybody says this all the time, but it's just like, it feels like people are, it's almost like, well, I don't have to call in now because that person just described what I was going through, so okay, that's good. But I want to, you know, I want to participate. I have this weird schedule during COVID with yoga, and so sometimes I can't call into the morning show, although I'll listen to it afterwards. And so I really miss being able to call in. I was like, I have to call into the radio show just to connect with people. But I wanted to just share a little bit about what's going on with me and, do a fervorino for recording and listening. I'm watching the undulations as well because, I got laid off in August because of COVID, and I just watch all of this identification come up. You know, it's like a wave that hits me, and I just, I hear the story and conditioned mind. I feel the emotional response to the story, and I know on some level, wow, I'm identified. You know, there's a part of me who knows it's not real, and yet it feels so real. And, I just reached for the recorder, and this morning I've been listening to the focus for the month for the radio show. Just because that's like the first thing I reach for in the morning before I get out of bed. It's like I just listen to the focus. It's just so wonderful. And this morning or yesterday morning, I was listening to a recording, and it just hit me. One of the things that I happened to say in this recording was, be sure to ask for help. And it was such wonderful guidance because all day long today, I was just looking at all the ways I could ask for help. And, of course, one of them is just calling into the radio show. So I'm just so grateful for practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what you're pointing to is because we put ourselves in that training rhythm that we were talking about on the Good News update, there is the ability to reach for the recorder. There is the ability to know that the identification, that there is an ego takeover in the wings, or there's a partial identification.
Yeah.
And I love what you're saying, right, Anne? Because the apertures that we've created for awareness to be of assistance to us in those moments of identification are available. So it drops in, listen to the focus, it triggers ask for help. Let me ask for help throughout the day. And in that place, we're not with the identification as much as it would like us to believe, because we're also being supported, and that's also my experience.
Yes, because really, if I really look, my experience is that it's like phenomenal to be an incarnated human being on this planet, which, you know, you saw the full moon, what was it, yesterday? I mean, it's, and the sky and the bird, I mean, it's phenomenal. And egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants me to live in a story of catastrophe and it's just, the contrast is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and to be able to hold both of those things, right? Watching the identification and the catastrophe story while also being cognizant of the beauty and being able to take care of that place of feeling conflicted, right?
Yes. Well, I loved what you said, Ashwini, to either the prior caller or the caller before, of that doesn't mean there's anything wrong. You know, to have that intense identification arise and to be, in a sense,
taken under by it. You know, it's like I'm getting this image of when you're swimming, you know, you're surfing on a wave and you get taken under, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, go ahead, come back up and take a breath.
Right, and then reach for the recorder and be with the be with that experience rather than engaging with whatever whatever it is that it's going to do to us. And if you succeed, great. If you go under one more time, you just have the next opportunity to come out of that and pick up the recorder again, right?
Yeah. What I'm hearing and what you're saying, it's like, instead of believing the content of the story that's being told, realize that's a process that happens to all human beings, and that connects us, and it's okay because that's just what happens, and there's nothing real in it. It's just part of the experience of being human.
Yes, and when I can't, and there are times when that's not accessible to me, right? And that's all right, too.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, really, there have been times where I'll be listening either to the radio show or the morning call or the Tuesday evening call, and I will be so depressed. I feel like I can't call in because I'm so identified. But I realize that's really probably what I need to call in, you know?
And where does that realization come from, right, Anne? It's not, if I'm completely depressed, I'm not going to have access to that. But something drops in, perhaps not when you're depressed, but later that's when I should call in. And I would project that all the training that you've done, all the practice that you've done will cause you to put yourself in the queue because it will override, I'm too depressed to pick up the phone and get in the queue.
In fact, it
came in as the guidance of ask for help.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Thank goodness for recording and listening. And the practitioner, you know, that all of us, the dedication. I mean, I just feel so blessed that I've been practicing with this Sangha for so long, and when I hear people call in, you know, it's just like, oh, my gosh, there's just this warm place in my heart for the person who's calling in. And, you know, even though we can't be together in person on retreat, like I have in my calendar for December the New Year's retreat, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going on the New Year's retreat. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's not happening this year. We're able to get back together again, it's going to be, we're going to feel so incredibly lucky in a way that we've never realized how lucky we are to be together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reunion will be a fabulous retreat, won't it?
Yeah, and in the meantime, to have all of this amazing practice available to us on a constant daily basis is phenomenal. And, like I said on one of the calls, I mean, just to celebrate Sangha, that, for me, that's part of the celebration, is celebrate practice, celebrate Sangha, celebrate the practitioner, celebrate the ability to know that when we're identified and know we have, you know when we're in the dark room that there's a light room, they're in the light room, there's a dark, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it is such a tremendously growing awareness of how okay all of it is, right? That is the benefit of our training.
Yes, and how those undulations are what connect me to every other single human being on the planet.
Yes. That relating to you could get to a deep, dark place gives us such compassion for everybody else in that deep, dark place, right? And what we move towards when we feel in that place, because here's a community of people that understand it, that don't judge it, and that their practice is somehow going to pull you out of it, too. It's going to bring you to the strength of the practitioner or the strength of the relationship with life that you've cultivated to get you out of that identification when it feels like you can't get out of it.
Yes. It's just so, it's so amazing to me that in identification, there's a huge problem that is unsolvable. And then when we disidentify, there is no problem. There is nothing wrong. How is that possible?
Yeah. It is. It does feel astonishing, isn't it? Yeah. It's very believable in the identification, and the problem disappears when we're not in the identification, which gives us that clarity of knowing that that's all we have to do, right, is to disidentify. We never have to solve a problem. We just have to disidentify.
Well, and for me, there's just something very humbling about the experience because, like I said, in connecting me to every other person, I realized, you know, this is on some level beyond my control. Identification happens. It doesn't mean that I'm, you know, I'm doing something wrong or I'm not practicing enough or whatever. And to realize, wow, this is a really intense experience that calls for, well, it inspires me to be kind to people is what it is, because I never know where someone else is and what they're going through, and I want to offer as much kind, boy, it brings me to tears. I want to offer as much kindness to them as I can in case they are in a place of extreme identification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It brings you to a place of compassion for everyone else because it's an awful place. You've been there and you know what an awful place it is, right? And so if someone is acting out from that place, then the best response is the unconditional love, is the compassion for them. And in some way, right, Anne, it hopefully translates into the same thing for you when you're in that dark place. It's not just that what you've experienced is putting yourself within the Sangha, inside the Sangha in some practice opportunity is an automatic calibration to pull you out of the darkness. And that kindness that you're talking about that becomes available to other people also becomes available to you.
Yes, and you know, Ashwini, it feels like the gift of COVID is that every single person on the planet is responding to, from whatever conditioning they have, the same piece of content, which, you know, how amazing is that, you know? So, again, there's just that feeling of connection for me from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sounds like that's really important for you, right? That the place where your heart is responding.
Yeah, and so anyway, I'm just so grateful to be able to call in and speak from a place of non-identification or disidentification, and to get the, you know, which will hopefully give me the courage when I'm totally identified to just call in and say I'm totally identified. I loved it the other day. I don't know if you remember this, on one of the calls. I loved it. I just thought it was so inspiring. This person called in and said, "Well, I don't have anything to say, so I'm just practicing calling in without anything to say." And then it was just a wonderful conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we keep saying this, right, Anne? You can't be disidentified and say, I mean, you can be identified and say you're identified. You're still believing that you're identified, but you're not, right? But that is the magic of the undulation. You recognize that you're in it. And in that recognition, you're in the process of getting out of it. And then either talking to the recorder or engaging in a facilitation interaction really, really just causes that to get crystallized, right? Where it becomes now my experience that I know I'm no longer identified, even if I started out feeling like I was. My analogy is, you know, when you're in the fire, you know you're in the fire burning. And then you take a step out of the fire, it's still hot. And then you take three steps out, it's still warm, but you're not in the fire anymore. And there's a certain distance that you get to that you recognize that, well, I'm sufficiently distant from the inferno that I'm not burning up. But it takes a certain level of distance for that to be your experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to keep walking, taking those steps back till it becomes your experience that you're no longer in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Yeah. And I was just sitting here, just looking at what a great tool meditation is for that, because that all can just, wherever I am, that can just be brought to sitting and breathing and being. Well, you know, one of many great tools.
Yes.
But yeah. So thank you. A big thank you to everybody on the Sangha who has the courage to practice and call in, and to you and Michael and Sherry, and wow, just all, what does it say in the daily recollection, you know, to all of the teachers who have made this, brought this practice possible to now.
Well, and thank you, Anne, for having the courage to put yourself in the queue and share your experience.
Well, go happy. Thank
you. Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. And another fabulous conversation, Ashwini, and another great show.
Mm-hmm, indeed it was. Well, thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you. Every week.
Yes, and go happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, good night.